from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Sports journalists Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro made a big statement this week. In a video that went wildly viral, they sat while men read tweets, horribly, ugly, abusive, threatening tweets that the women had actually received on social media. Hashtag more than mean, it's called, and that's putting it mildly. Female sports reporters deal with a lot, but so do others. This hour On Point, Sarah and Julie are with us. We're looking at sports, men, women, and online harassment, abuse, assaults. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you seen this viral video, hashtag more than mean? Were you shocked or not? Has this happened to you? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. I want to give a loud and clear warning to listeners here. The soundtrack of More Than Mean, the More Than Mean video, which we're going to listen in on, has very rugged, crude language and threats. It is not suitable for children. And think twice about yourself. With me now from Chicago is Sarah Spain. Julie DeCaro's here. Sarah is a columnist for ESPNW.com and ESPN radio host, a Sports Center reporter for ESPN. She's featured in the More Than Mean video. Sarah Spain, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
And Julie DeCaro is with us. Update anchor on 670 The Score, Chicago sports radio station. Writer for the Cauldron at Sports Illustrated. Also front and center in the More Than Mean video. Julie DeCaro, welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I should say to our listeners, you can see the full video, this public service announcement, as it's been framed, More Than Mean, at our website, onpointradio.org. Brace yourself there. Sarah, what's the origin of this video? How did this come about?
Well, there's a guy, Brad Burke, and he runs a podcast called Just Not Sports that's sort of about the intersection of sports and culture, usually stuff that's a bit more lighthearted. But in this case, his professional life outside of the podcast, he is a senior VP at Weber Stanwyck PR. And in working with female athletes and female reporters a lot, he realized that there's sort of an outrage du jour about harassment online whenever there's a story or a podcast about it, and then it dies down. But for those people who are dealing with this on a daily, weekly basis, it doesn't go away. So they wanted to find a way to spotlight it and show people this harassment in a different way and give them a different perspective on it so that they would embrace it and understand it differently than just hearing women talk about the harassment that they've undergone. So he invited Julie and I to come out and have these nice, poor, unassuming men who didn't know exactly what was coming read aloud some of the tweets that we get on a daily basis. And part of the power of the video is watching these men physically react to learning for the first time the real extent of what we undergo simply for wanting to work in the sports industry and do our jobs.
And we should lay out here that what we have Sarah and Julie, and then men come in and they read tweets, Julie, that you've actually received, and they have a series of different men who did not write these. These are men innocent of all this. But the men who wrote these, it's just hard to imagine what's going on in their minds. We'll look at that. We'll talk and think about that. But you're sitting there while they're reading them to you. When Brad laid this out, Julie, what did you think of this idea? And him taking this horrible stuff but putting it out there as a public service announcement, a PSA, to try and push back against it. How did you process this idea, Julie?
I wasn't really sure what to think in the beginning. It seemed like a really sort of risky idea. Like, we thought it was either going to be spectacular and it was going to blow up, or it was going to fail miserably. And wasn't really sure what to think, but when I actually got to the set and I talked with Brad and I talked with a bunch of the guys working on it and then met the guys who were coming in, I started getting more and more comfortable with it. And I think that it, because you see the emotion in the faces of the men that are reading the tweets and you can see how uncomfortable they are and how awkward they are, it had an impact that I don't think anyone else has really been able to capture when talking about this topic. You know, women can jump up and down and yell about it on Twitter and say, look what's happening to me, and we can write all the pieces in the world about, you know, how hard it is to try to do your job when you have to wade through this mountain of garbage every single day. But there's something about seeing the tweets and hearing the tweets and seeing actual human beings have to react to it that really struck a chord with people. And so I'm really grateful to Brad for coming up with the idea and to Sarah and everyone else who was involved in the video for making it happen.
It's a very powerful public service announcement, I guess, is what they're calling it. Certainly now viral video. I want to begin tiptoeing into it. And it starts off in a very smart way, where you men come in and they're reading tweets to you, and you and Sarah are listening to them. And the first ones, and we're going to hear some of them now, they're tweaking you, they're jabbing you, they're poking you. These are tweets read aloud by men who did not write them. But you've tough, you've got thick skin, you've got a good sense of humor, and you're just rolling with these first ones. Kind of starts out on a lighter note. This isn't patty cake, but it's all right. Let's listen. This is from hashtag More Than Mean.
I'd like to start a petition for a ban on all links to Julie DeCaro's Twitter feed.
Okay.
Hi.
Sarah.
All right, you ready to do some mean tweets?
I'm ready.
Sarah Spain sounds like a nagging wife on TV today.
Not even married yet.
Julie DeCaro is a run-of-the-mill, mediocre beat writer.
Not atrocious, not good.
Just sorta there.
I'm actually not a beat writer at all, but okay.
Sarah Spain is just a scrub muffin?
I don't even know what a scrub muffin is.
I don't either.
I love muffins.
Okay, sir, here's the beginning. And I actually love this part because it shows you guys have a sense of humor. You're not any shrinking violets here. You know, you can get out there and rumble. Of course, did you know which tweets they were going to read, Sarah?
Yeah, I had an idea just because the guys showed us in advance. And I think part of that is we've...
Fairness.
Yeah, we've seen the worst of the worst, but we would not want to be re-shocked or re-surprised in the midst of this video. So I did know it was coming, yeah. And especially the scrub muffin one. I don't even know what that is. So I was like, I'll just take that as a compliment. I'm sure it's great.
I'm sure, but I have to say, you come off, both of you, so well there. I mean, you've got big shoulders. You're out there. You're tough. But then, Julie, it gets darker in a hurry, and I wonder... We're going to hear some of the really tougher stuff in just a minute here, but how did you feel about the idea that these things would be read aloud and heard and read and heard and seen again and again?
I was great with them being out there and being heard and seen again and again. I think that so many of us feel that we're dealing with this sort of in isolation or in like a dark corner of the internet that nobody really wants to venture into. I mean, sports are supposed to be fun, right? That's why we're all here. That's why we want to work in the industry. That's why people watch sports. And when you bring up things about sports that aren't fun, people don't really often want to hear about it. So I had seen these before, and it was jarring to hear it out loud. I've said several times, I grew up in a house where we weren't allowed to tell each other to shut up, my brothers and sisters and I. We would have gotten in trouble
for it. Mine too, yep.
So I never had heard language like people, you know, tweet at me in my life, even hanging around with my guy friends and stuff. I just don't hang around with people that say those kinds of things, even joking. So, you know, hearing it out loud, even though I'd read them before and I'd seen this stuff all the time, it was really jarring. So I think in your head you have kind of this disembodied voice when you're reading. And listening to an audiobook is a much different experience than reading a book. And so it had that same kind of impact.
We've heard the light stuff. It gets much rougher in the video in a hurry, and we're going to go there now. This is not for children. Shoo them away. If you're not up for it, don't even listen yourself. But this is what's actually going on. There are long pauses in this video, and you'll hear that where the men who are reading these, and remember, they've just been handed these tweets to read to these to my guests, Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro. They don't want to say these things out loud, but they're in for it. I mean, they've come to do it, and they'll do it, but that's what the pauses are, them struggling. They don't want to say these things. Here's more from More Than Mean.
One of the players should beat you to death with their hockey stick like the whore you are.
I'm just reading this.
Okay.
Sarah Spain is a self-important know-it-all. Okay. Just read the tweets, man. There's some mean tweets.
This dumb...
There's a lot of C word.
There's a lot of C words.
In
yeah.
And it gets worse in More Than Mean. Really dark stuff. Long pauses. The men do not want to read this. Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro have had their inboxes, their Twitter feeds filled with this. Want people to know what goes on. Here's more from More Than Mean.
I hope your dog gets hit by a car. You
Hopefully this skank Julie DeCaro is Bill Cosby's next victim. That would be classic.
I don't know what to say to that.
I don't. I don't think I can even say that.
I hope your boyfriend beats you. I'm sorry.
From the video that's gone viral all over the world, a hashtag more than mean. These are just some of the tweets, the actual tweets that my guests Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro have received. They're with us from Chicago. Sarah, I hate hearing that. And you can hear how much those men hate even reading this. We're going to talk about this, but we've got a minute before the break. How do you begin to make sense of what is going on in the minds of men who see you or hear you doing your reporting, your opining, and then send in that kind of garbage?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me what makes it sort of palatable and easier to deal with is if I tell myself that they're probably very unfulfilled and sad, angry people, and then I feel sorry for them. And I feel like they don't have a happy life and supportive friends and family, and that they probably, if they are willing to go to this extent, are deeply unhappy. And then I pity them. Unfortunately, we have found by some people who go out and find their harassers that some of these people are normal, everyday people with girlfriends and families and jobs. And then on the side, they do this, and they're, you know, some sort of demons that they're trying to exercise or some sort of anger that they have with women. So it's hard to say exactly who these men are and why they're drawn to doing this. But the best way for me to get through it is to tell myself that I live a happy life and I love my job and I feel sorry for them.
Julie, I feel sort of like the men reading these. When we play these, I don't want to play them. And yet you're saying, and you're the ones who received them, we've got to hear this, Julie.
Yeah, it's you know, I give those guys a lot of credit. They didn't know what they were getting into. They were put in this situation where they were made extremely vulnerable and extremely emotional. And, you know, they fought through it, and even though they didn't want to do it afterwards, they were all on board. Nobody said that they felt tricked or they wanted to, you know, have their video, you know, not used or anything like that.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the video gone viral on what two female sports reporters put up with when it comes to men's outrageous abuse online. It is shocking, but not as shocking as it should be. It's common. You can join us this hour. Have you seen the video? Hashtag more than mean. Did it make you want to scream and shout? What is up with the grotesque, obscene, violence-drenched abuse of women by men online? Men, if you do it, why do you do it? Why? And women, if you've seen it, been the target, how do you process this stuff? Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro join me from Chicago. Sarah's a columnist at ESPNW.com, ESPN radio host, Chicago Sports Center reporter for ESPN. Julie is update anchor at 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Radio, writer for The Cauldron at Sports Illustrated. They have taken a lot of this abuse in their careers, and now, as a public service announcement, this viral video is out, really to push back against it. Men sitting and reading these tweets to them, face-to-face, and the men can just barely do it. Now, we know that a lot of this is out there. A lot of people feel this. Maybe you have this really bad stuff in your arena, or maybe sometimes it's funny. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel brings on celebrities and has them read mean tweets about themselves on air, and it's kind of funny. Here's Julia Roberts, 2014.
There are people who think Julia Roberts is hot. Her gigantic mouth looks like it will devour an elephant in one bite.
Or here's Blake Shelton on Jimmy Kimmel's Celebrities Read Mean Tweets.
If I could choose to punch one piece of in the face, it would be Blake Shelton.
But this, hashtag more than mean, the abuse that showered down on these two women, female sports reporters, and a lot of others, is something else entirely. And I'm going to give you one more clip of this, and then we're done with it. And again, this is rough, rugged, ugly language, and if kids are around, shoo them away. This is the last bite, but they want you to know what's out there. This clip was a little edited here just for time, but from More Than Mean.
Why bring up your own rape in this story? Is it your way of firing back at critics who said you can't get any?
That's something, huh?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So I have to read all of them, right? Because, I mean, I don't...
Read them, I guess.
I hope you get raped again.
Oh.
I
I'm having trouble looking at you when I'm saying these things.
You need to be hit in the head with a hockey puck and killed. That's it.
From hashtag more than mean, it is ugly, but it's real, and it's what these women have had to put up with, Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro. Julie, I know we just have you for another couple of minutes here. What do you want people to learn, take away, do about? This is hard to listen to. You know, we're not eager to do it, but we want to know what you want us to learn and do.
You know, I think that Sarah and I and every other woman who's ever dared speak out about what, you know, the online harassment they get, constantly hear, ignore the trolls, just ignore them. And I want people to know that probably 99% of the time, we do ignore the trolls. You know, I have days where I am totally zen about the whole thing, and I can just block everyone who says stuff like that and go about my work. But like everyone else, we have good days and bad days. And when you see someone reacting to something online that you think maybe isn't that terrible, think that and know that that is probably the 30th thing someone has said to us that day that was horrible. And some days you just hit the breaking point and you can't take it anymore. So telling us to get a thicker skin or to go into another field if we can't handle it isn't fair and it isn't kind. We shouldn't have to do this just to do our job. And we already have extremely thick skins. We wouldn't have made it this far in the industry if we hadn't. So the idea that, you know, we're overly sensitive and that this kind of thing is just par for the course and it's part of the deal and you shouldn't have gotten into the industry if you didn't want to deal with it isn't true and it's not fair. And, you know, that's what I want people to know.
Julie DeCaro, your courage is up. Lay this out for everybody to see and hear, and we're grateful for that. Update anchor at 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Radio, writer for Sports Illustrated. Sarah's going to stick with us, and we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for being with us today, Julie.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
Sarah Spain in Chicago. We've got women lined up around the block to talk with you, and may I bring some on?
Sure.
Geraldine, Missoula, Montana. You're on with Sarah Spain in Chicago.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, thank you so much for your courage to bring, to put light on this. I've been an athlete all my life, and I get so tired of hearing stuff like, you know, she does this really well, dot, 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 for a girl. You know, she skis super well for a girl. And I am so over it. And I think that, you know, you're showing men just how tiring it gets to be put down, dismissed, diminished in so many ways.
Geraldine, may I ask you, I mean, skis well for a girl is stupid and rough to hear, but have you had to endure ever in your athletic career this kind of thoroughly wicked, obscene, you know, really grotesque stuff that like they get online?
So I haven't thankfully ever had to hear stuff like the C word leveled at me in these contexts.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard it, you know, in conversation in the neighborhood. And the thing that concerns me the most, though, is that we have people, not to, you know, bring politics into it, but that we have a presidential candidate who kind of, who behaves in this way and is in some ways giving tacit permission to this kind of behavior. And so to me, it's all part of a larger conversation about how we talk to women, how we talk about women. And that I'm so thankful that so many women are standing up and saying, you know what, this is just not okay.
Sarah, you're doing this or receiving this as a sports columnist and reporter. Do you get sympathy from female athletes who have to put up with the same thing? Or is this because you're such a, it's a particular role? You're there with the microphone, you know, by the arena. Do you have a common bond with athletes, female
athletes?
Yeah,
absolutely. I actually am an athlete myself. I was a Division I track athlete.
Oh,
so
okay.
I bring a real knowledge of mm-hmm. being in the locker room and being an athlete
But
to
did
my
you
job.
Face this when you were running, sprinting, whatever you were doing? Or is this just a different, you know, a different thing when you're somehow
a media person? I think there's, you know, society's has evolved tremendously, especially after the advent of Title IX, wherein there are so many more women and girls now participating in sport, and it's just it's common, and it's something that's not viewed oddly anymore. Whereas it used to be back in the day that it was this, why would women even want to play sports or participate? So I think I came in at the right time as far as being accepted as an athlete. But I think there are still great barriers to cross as far as talking about sports. And I think, you know, when we talk about harassment in general, and everybody, men, women, children, everybody online has to understand the dark side of it and that there are jerks out there. But I think for women in sports, one of the biggest issues for us, one of the reasons that the invective is so troubling, is because it's not usually about what we're saying. It's about us being in a space that people have decided is a male space, that it angers them that we just want to talk about sports, not even what we're saying about sports, but we believe that we have the right to be involved in sports. So I think that's what stinks the most. And I can't speak for people of color or LGBT, mm-hmm. but I imagine that it's that same feeling of I'm being hated for simply being born, right? So I was born a woman, yeah. and I am an athlete and I love sports.
Yeah.
And for that very reason, I will be shouted down for participating in something that we can all agree is great. Everybody loves sports. So yeah. why am I denied the right to enjoy that?
And down comes this river of obscenity and hate. It's just wild. Deb in Madison, Wisconsin. Deb, thank you for calling. You're on with Sarah Spain.
Hi, Tom, Sarah. My heart just broke watching this and now listening to it again. I come at this from the perspective of someone who is a print journalist in Chicago pre-social media. And, you know, I know that on my desk, I kept a folder of printed out emails and postal letters that I got from readers just for being a woman in media expressing my opinion. And I always told my bosses, you know, if I don't show up for work one day, start with that folder, you know, because those are the people who are sending the threats. And I'm so sad that a decade later, you know, enabled by this, it's even worse for the women that have followed me.
When you watch this viral video, you cannot help but squirm and kind of despair at points, and you see these good men who don't want to be reading this, but what were you thinking as you watched it, Deb?
You know, I was truly thinking that this is, you know, this is the face of you know, being empowered to have these, you know, this anonymous forum that makes small people feel big and feel brave.
Yeah.
And you know, the social media culture and the sports culture layered on top of what was already there around just women daring to voice their opinion in a public way. I was sad and I was scared and I was just, you know, I feel such a responsibility and I'm to, you know, to raise better boys than this.
Yeah.
You know, and for people to see what this is about. And I applaud their courage for showing people what this looks like.
It is pretty revolting. It is deeply revolting. I want to grab one more call. Deb, thank you for calling from Madison. One more, a caller who's taking a quick break from work, and I don't want to lose her. Sarah in St. Louis, Missouri. Sarah, thank you very much for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm okay. What's your story, Sarah?
Well, here I'm a building inspector, and every single day I hear really terrible language, C word, B word. I'm one of just two inspectors, and just today I actually had to walk away from a situation where the gentleman said, you know, I hope that you get beat up. I hope that you're re-raped. And it's
re-raped.
It's bad.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, we have resource officers for just this reason, but I can empathize with these ladies because every single day, the misogynistic attitude, the terrible language that goes on, and to level this, to try and stop this, I look the gentleman in the eye and I say, would you say this if this were your wife or your daughter? And they stop for a moment, and that stops them for just a moment, and then they continue on. And it's debilitating. I leave work crying, but it's something that you have to deal with as a woman.
No, but you shouldn't, Sarah. Where's your HR department? Where's the boss? Why don't they shut this down?
Well, because these aren't people in my workplace that are doing it. These are citizens that do it, that don't like my job, and that don't like the fact that I'm a woman telling them what to do.
Wow. I'm really sorry.
You know, HR aside, it's the same thing, you know, where if you're interviewing somebody, you can shut them down. Or, you know, if this is your boss or colleague that's doing this, of course, this wouldn't be tolerated. But in our society, especially in the Midwest, especially in fields that are dominated by men, women, you know, it's the language that's hurled at us is just so hurtful and so demeaning.
Sarah, I'm very sorry to hear that, but you make it real for us, and I'm grateful for your call. We are talking about the video gone viral on what two female sports reporters put up with when it comes to men's abuse online. Hashtag more than mean, but we hear right there, it's not only online, it's not only social media. Sarah Spain is one of the two reporters who cooperated in putting this out. They sort of emptied their notebooks, their Twitter accounts of all this ugliness, and the video was put together. She joins us from Chicago. With us as well right now from Washington is Soraya Shamali, writer, activist, director of the Women's Media Center Speech Project. It's a group focused on online harassment, organizer of the Safety and Free Speech Coalition. Soraya, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Why does this happen? Why do men do this?
So I think that everyone that's called in and spoken already today touched on some key issues. One is that pretty much every aspect of public life, men dominate. So in sports, even though we've made great strides, women like Julie and Sarah are really in a small minority. Women make up less than 10% of sports writers and editors. Less than 2% of sports stories are dedicated to women's sports. Those are huge imbalances. And so,
yeah, but why is that a free pass to, or something like it, to just pour out this most hideous kind of threats and language and wishes of violence and death and rape?
I don't think it's a free pass. I think it's an entitlement, which I guess you could call a free pass. But the idea that women are trying to act equally in these areas is greeted with great hostility. And it's obviously not only sports. I mean, we're really talking about many, many different arenas. You could make a video like this, and there have been others made like this for other sectors. So, for example, in news media in general, we know that women are subject to high levels of aggression. The Guardian just analyzed about 73 million comments, and they found that of the top 10 most harassed journalists, 8 were women, 2 were men of color. And the topics that were the most provoking to people were feminism and rape, were 2 of the top 3. So sports is really a hegemonically male sphere. And as Sarah said, women sort of putting a stake in the ground and saying, hey, I have expertise in this area, I really love sports, or I'm an athlete, face this level of aggression. And I think that some of it is just the much bigger cultural context of sex segregation, of fraternal norms, of acceptable violence against women.
Sarah?
Yeah, and absolutely. Yes. I think so much of it is society's way of valuing women. And if we continue to allow advertising, entertainment, our political presidential race to be devolved into whether a woman is hot or not and what value she has as a sexual object, then men will continue to be surprised when women are capable of succeeding in anything other than looking attractive.
But women succeed in so many fields these days.
Of course they do. But if in the end, look at someone like Michelle Obama when Barack was first elected, it was all about how great her arms were. You know, this was an incredibly accomplished and intelligent woman. And, you know, Amal Clooney, George Clooney's wife, it's still about what designer she's wearing and not that she's one of the top human rights lawyers in the world. So I think the idea is such a larger societal issue of how we value women. And unfortunately, it's not going to be solved overnight. But that trickles down into some of the invective that we get that is not only mirrors sexual violence in everyday life, but also mirrors the idea of, you know, if somebody leaves a company, my tweets come in and they're like, oh, you should take her job. You're hot enough for that job. That has nothing to do with the job. And so this idea of if the value always begins with our appearance, then it will affect the way that we are viewed and valued. And that allows them to feel like it's okay to mistreat us.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the video gone viral on what two female sports reporters put up with when it comes to men's outrageous abuse online. It is shocking, but I have to say not as shocking as it should be. The reporters, Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro, tell us it is common, and many others know that as well. Sarah Spain is still with us from Chicago, columnist for ESPNW.com, ESPN radio host, and more. She and Julie shared just a little, of this stream of really ugly, vile tweets that come at them basically every day from men who see them on air and respond in this way. Soraya Shamali is with us as well. She organized the Safety and Free Speech Coalition. She was with the Women's Media Center Speech Project. And you can join us this hour as well. What is up with the grotesque, obscene, violence-drenched abuse of women by men online? Men, if you do it, why do you do it? And women, if you've seen it, been the target, how do you process this? Is there something about the sports world that draws this out? What about beyond the sports world? Have you seen this in your online world, your message board, your inbox? What do you do when it happens? Soraya, I've got lots of response online. Here's a listener says, I was harassed online. I couldn't believe how threatening it felt, even at a huge distance. Paige writes to us, it's amazing that women are willing to exist in the public arena at all after listening, Sarah, to the kind of thing that's been written into you. Jenny says, it does make me feel good that the men reading the tweets were so visibly uncomfortable. It means it's fixable. We'll look at that. Tanya, this is interesting. When you hide behind a keyboard, you can say anything you want, and there will be someone out there who takes your side. Finally, Satwa says, tell anyone who threatens you on the streets or online that you're reporting them to the police. Twitter should also take some responsibility for hate speech and threats of violence. Let's work back upstream. Soraya, is there any way that Twitter can be held responsible for this or can be called on to somehow tamp this down, or that just won't happen under our legal system?
So there is something known as the Good Samaritan Act, part of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that basically absolves corporations, platforms of liability for the content that's produced by users on their platforms. So no, there are some exceptions, for example, copyright, but this is not one of those exceptions. It's very similar in many ways to street harassment, which, 75 to 95% of women in the States say they experience. So there are limits. Twitter itself, I think, has come to appreciate the degree to which harassment like this shuts down free expression on their platform. And in the past year, really since Gamergate, which actually you and I discussed last year,
yes,
on our show.
This is in the video gaming world where women were singled out and hounded.
Yes. And I mean, I can't really stress this enough. We're talking about sector after sector after sector, but really, it happens everywhere, right? And so in tech, in gaming, in sports, which tend to be more concentrated in terms of the imbalances of gender and race, we see these kind of explosive incidents. But for the most part, we're really not talking about women in the public eye necessarily who are being targeted by anonymous people. People have incredible levels of ease using their own names and faces. I mean, the worst threats I as a writer have ever gotten are from men who have no, they use their names, they use their faces, they don't really care. They're just going to say what they want to say because they feel a comfort level doing that. But more than that, it's the women that are not in these jobs who make up the majority of women that are encountering these problems. Mm-hmm. And they're being harassed by people they know, by classmates, by workplace peers, by their employers, by the police sometimes. So going to the police doesn't necessarily, it's not really a response.
Sarah, what about that? I mean, Melly is writing to us on Twitter here. She says, please address law enforcement's often incompetent or even incredulous response. Do you know of women who have gone to law enforcement around this kind of harassment? Sarah, is there any relief there?
Yeah, I haven't actually gone to law enforcement myself. I've gone through ESPN security on a couple different people and just said, keep an eye on this IP address and this person.
Because
and
it was that violent. It was that threatening.
Yeah, because I became genuinely concerned.
Yeah.
I have security come with me if I do events at local bars or restaurants or stuff like that.
Yeah.
ESPN always provides it. But there's a woman here in Chicago, Amy Guth, who is actually doing a documentary on harassment of women. And she said that she received an email that was very detailed describing her beheading, and another email very detailed describing how the person was going to sexually assault her. And she went to the police about both of those.
Yeah.
And they said to her, you're a very beautiful woman. Maybe you should get off Twitter. And I think the issue sometimes is a lag in law enforcement understanding technology and the seriousness, not only of the threats and that they are not just empty words, but also the importance of this technology to our jobs. Because since this PSA came out, I can't tell you the number of people have said the easiest way to not have to deal with this is to not go on Twitter or to turn your computer off.
Yeah.
Well, that's not something that I can do in my industry in this day and age,
yeah,
when there's breaking news every second on Twitter, particularly in the sports world, that's how we communicate.
It's kind of the equivalent of walking on the street now. I mean, it's just
exactly.
It's just public life. Sophie in Boston, thank you for calling, Sophie. You're on with Sarah Spain and Soraya Shamali.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell a quick story. When I was relatively new to Twitter a few years ago, I was following a professional football player just for fun. He was entertaining.
Yeah.
And he tweeted in the morning something about his girlfriend needing to make him breakfast. And it was just a stupid tweet.
Mm.
And I repeated back something like, wow, that's pretty sexist this early in the morning. It was just, you know, I didn't even think about it.
Yep.
I got back to my phone a few hours later, and he had retweeted my tweet out to all of his followers. And I received rape threats. I received threats about my sexual orientation, comments about whether or not I was getting enough sex, et cetera, et cetera. I was stunned by his followers.
And this is just from a retweet of a fairly innocuous comment.
Yeah, and he had...
Wow.
I really felt free to, you know, send it out to people and sort of let them punish me, right? For
I mean, I guess you think he anticipated what that would the hammer that would bring down on you? I mean, he could have just done it with his tongue in cheek.
With over a million followers.
Yeah, no, he probably knew.
He did know. And then, you know, he was arrested for domestic violence about 2 months later. So there you go, right?
That's just crazy. Sarah, what is that hair trigger about?
Yeah, you know, it's actually very common. And that's one of the things that we try to explain to people is, listen, if I get a message or two every once in a while, it's easy to block them and move on. But there are sites, particularly some sports sites, that their fan base is angry and the content that they put out has a tendency to rile up its fan base into attacking whoever has troubled them at any given moment. So, you know, there's one site and there was an article on the site once about, you know, we hate skinny jeans because it makes it harder to rape women. And it was sort of supposed to be tongue in cheek and funny somehow, but that's kind of the content that draws in some of the fans of that site. And they make a habit of announcing to their followers, their many, many followers, when someone has angered them. And then all their followers take that as an invitation. Well, then let's all attack her. And so instead of it just being one or two, you're trying to do your work. You're trying to engage with people and interact on social media.
Yeah.
And it is a deluge of garbage for hours at a time. And there are threats of you know, I know where you work. I'm going to show up and things like that. And that's when it becomes just exhausting. And then you feel like, I don't want to be intimidated out of saying my opinion or discussing things or speaking out against articles like that that are troublesome because you're going to send this army of anger after me.
This is just not okay. This is not okay in any way. I mean, this is so far outside what ought to be the bounds, and yet we're hearing how much it's going on. David in Williamsville, New York. David, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello, one and all. Yes, I'm just calling to say I play a weekly poker game for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
My fellow poker players, all, you know, dads or husbands, the best athletes in our family are our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I still hear incredibly horrible statement about women. And I'm not defending the guys that are my friends, but they disassociate horrible statements away from their wives or their daughters. And I've been fighting it for years.
Do you call them out, David? Do you say, hey, wait a minute?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In fact,
and?
I say... That person's not a B word.
Yeah.
They're a jerk.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I call them out and they'll tell you I'm a pain in the butt about it, but I am furious that they're talking about a woman they don't know. And if anyone ever said that about their wives or daughters, they would get in a violent confrontation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they'll say it about someone they don't know.
David, I appreciate your call so much. Soraya, is there that much ambient misogyny just floating around? Is this casual? is it a gang pack dynamic? It seems a pack dynamic online.
No, I actually appreciate the tech because the medium of the internet actually reveals something that women have been living with for a long time. But, you know, the thing about the video that which I love, by the way, it is remarkable because it's so arresting.
Powerful.
But what is problematic with it is that, once again, it feels as though we need male validation for what women are saying.
You mean the men reading these things out loud makes it unbearable to hear or see? Or,
well, it makes it unbearable, and it centers the feelings of the men who then validate things that people are unwilling to give substance to. And so I appreciate what the caller just said. But again, this issue of wives and daughters is one of while I understand the inclination and the feeling behind it, it centers again the men in terms of women that are related to them.
If
women
it was their
have
women.
The right to speak.
Yes.
And to speak
they do.
Openly and freely without these levels of violence against them. But we have a really strong tendency in the culture, which is deeply misogynistic, to dehumanize women. And we do it primarily through sexualizing them and sexual violence. Not only that, but those are two major thrusts of these kinds of very aggressive messages.
Bill in Madison, Connecticut. Thank you for calling, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. The problem to me starts with the men and it ends with the men. And I'm blown away by people doing this stuff. I don't understand how any half-decent human being can be that way. I'm not on Twitter. Maybe that's a problem. I don't follow sports. I like to play them. Maybe that's also the problem. But if I were on Twitter, I would take these guys to the mat, and I would be on them. But I'm not on Twitter. I don't understand why the other men...
If you were, you can't find them. You don't know where they are. Oh, but
no,
you mean just respond.
Twitter, you
yeah.
respond.
Yeah.
You say,
yeah.
Hey, you are yeah. a da 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 for saying this.
Yeah.
And nobody
yeah.
seems to do that, right? There's, as far as I'm getting, there's no men coming out and jumping down the throats of these disgusting people.
That's interesting, Bill. Sarah, do you have defenders who come to your side on Twitter when this happens?
Yeah, absolutely. There are plenty of men, I think, who are allies for us, which is powerful and important. But the thing that I guess especially people who aren't on Twitter don't realize is that shouting them down doesn't usually do anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are different trolls.
Heat.
Some of them want attention. So then you give it to them and they do it more.
Yeah.
Some of them genuinely wanted to deeply threaten you. And that's a different subject. And, you know, there's one I know for sure who has created probably 35 different accounts to send messages to me. So every time I block him, he creates a new account and does it again. So me shouting him down or responding in any way doesn't change anything. So while it feels good every once in a while to lash out, and I allow myself to do that every once in a while, I know it doesn't fix anything. Someone who is as disturbed as to do this is not likely to be affected by someone else telling them that it's wrong.
Some people, if they see the opportunity, they can't resist it, but it is ugly. It is straight up ugly. Robert in Greensboro, North Carolina. Robert, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
All right. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring in a couple of issues. One, it's not necessarily just about, you know, there's always been harassment of women. It will continue, you know, thus far. But this is just how a lot of men just have learned to talk, period. Not just to women, but to each other. I mean, I received rape threats and, you know, all kinds of harassment and called N-word. And not, you know, not a threatening way, but kind of a, you know, yeah, hi, how you doing kind of way.
Just
almost.
Take it. Just take it.
Right. And it's not, and another point I just wanted to bring in, one of your guests was talking about, it's, you know, the sexualization of women is kind of the problem. I think it's kind of the opposite. It's, you know, women can only be seen as, well, as one of the other callers said, as daughters and mothers or wives. You know, it's like the women can't be sexualized. Or can't be seen as, you know, being independent and sexual and can do whatever they want. They have to be either mothers or daughters, or, you know, they're the other.
Get out of that arena and you're in trouble. But you've got other angles on being the other or being the, when the N-word's thrown. Yeah, this can go in more directions. Soraya, I hear you there.
Oh, so I agree with a lot of what you're saying about this dehumanizing language. For women of color in particular online, there's no escaping the effects of their intersectional experiences with this violence. But I would say that what you just identified in terms of what essentially is a Madonna whore complex in regards to how women are portrayed.
You're this or that.
Yeah, both are sexualizations, right?
Yes.
Because one is a purity fixation and one is the opposite of that. And so in either instance, what we're talking about is women's functionality to men. Even when men are shamed in that way, even when they are threatened with rape, the impact of that, the intent of that is to feminize them so that when they are threatened with rape, the denigration comes from the fact that they are like women. And so while I understand deeply appreciate the many different forms of harassment that happen online, the ways in which homophobic harassment happens or the kinds of violent rape threats that you're talking about happen are really dimensions of misogyny.
Soraya Shamali, you've got a great big view on this, and we appreciate your sharing it with us today. Thank you so much for joining us from the Women's Media Center Speech Project in Washington. Thank you, Soraya.
Thank you, Tom.
Sarah Spain, you and Julie DeCaro are brave. I am sorry for what you've gone through there. It's revolting. It's disgusting. I hope that somehow we come to a new social consensus that just says no to this. This is just too ugly to be. But man, are you brave and courageous, and I'm so admiring of you stepping up to confront it. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being
Thanks
with
for
us,
having
sir.
Me.
Thank you very much. Listeners, On Point has a weekly newsletter. Get insight into the show, news analysis, commentary. This week, we're digging deeper into our shows on the middle class. Sign up at onpointradio.org. Thank you for joining us today. I know it was rugged, but thank you for being here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.